Hello and welcome to my show, Quantum Living, a Hack to Happiness and Success. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. I am a personal coach, intuitive counselor, theta meditation teacher, trainer, writer, and media producer based in beautiful Melbourne, Australia. Through my quantum living work, I help people become more empowered, more self-aware, and have tools and strategies to change whatever is not working for them in their lives. You can find out more about my coaching program and contact me through my website at quantumliving.com.au. In this podcast, you will find information, inspirations, tips, hacks, and insights on how to live a happy and fulfilling life in sync with the universe at the intersection of science and spirituality. A unique and mysterious dimension I call quantum living, where you can create your world and manifest your reality from within. Knowing and applying the principles of quantum living is a foolproof and elegant hack to happiness, fulfillment, abundance, and success. Curious? Okay, let's begin. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, across the world and the universe. Thank you for tuning in. The topic of today's episode is probably one of the most uncomfortable, most avoided, and most dreaded by the vast majority of people: change. You may have laughed with a bitter, sarcastic laughter when you saw the title Mastering Change, thinking or saying out loud, "I can barely manage change and you want me to master it?" Yes, I do. Why? Because change is the integral part of life and can be mastered, which significantly reduces the pain of change. So today I'd like to talk about what is change, why we resist change, and what are the three different approaches to dealing with change we can take, from victimhood to management to mastery. I will also take you through a brief visualization technique and give you the seven steps to mastering change. So, what is change? My simple definition of change is that afterwards, your life will never be the same in some respects. Change is the function of action and time. Whatever takes place, whatever happens over a period of time, it creates a change of some sort. If I walk from one room to another, I have changed my location. If I sit quietly for 15 minutes, not doing anything, I have changed my physiology. Perhaps I feel more rested. And yes, you guessed it, I have also aged by 15 minutes. While this is a very simplistic explanation of change, it is important to really grasp it, as understanding of what change is will help us master it. Change is the very fabric of life. It is the thread that continues to be woven in various directions, in various patterns, up and down, left and right, inside out, to create the matrix of our existence. When you find a knot in this fabric, you are stuck. Nothing moves. Nothing changes. There is only the passage of time, which we cannot stop. And so time is the constant change in our 3D reality. But my interest today is not the mundane change, as in the flow of life. I want to tackle the big change, the change that we resist, that brings fear in us, that we postpone, that we are not happy with. Change which pushes us out of our comfort zone, that creates pain. A new job, retrenchment, retirement, or a new career direction, moving house, wedding, pregnancy, birth, illness and death, serious diagnosis and accidents, separation and divorce, children leaving home, quitting bad habits, and starting a new fitness program. For most people, any change in their circumstances is painful, or at least uncomfortable, and often emotional. Why is that? The cause lies in our psyche. Our conscious mind or ego perceives all departure from the known and familiar as a threat to our existence. As the ego's primary job is to protect us, it will do anything it can to prevent us from venturing out of its comfort zone into the area of danger by inducing fear, resistance, anxiety, and apprehension to retain the status quo. A successful strategy to implement change, therefore, needs to convince our analytical mind that it will be safe. In my world, there are three types of change. The first type of change is self-initiated. That's the change we have decided to make. It is pulling us in the new direction. For example, when you have decided to improve your health with diet and exercise, or quit smoking or drinking, or some other nasty habit, and you have a strong motivation for this, which I will talk about in a moment, this change is pulling you, and you own it, which makes it so much easier to go through it. People who are generally self-driven and focus on personal growth thrive on this type of change, moving from one to another and welcome the challenge. The second type of change is imposed, a change we are faced with whether we like it or not. For example, when your boss has announced a major restructure of the company, which involves your relocation from the first to the fifth floor to an area that is smaller, no pot plants, and you will need to go through some training and upskilling to deal with the new, higher-level responsibilities. You are faced with a change that is imposed on you and is pushing you to make a choice. In this example, you might decide to quit this job and find another one, or start your own business, or welcome the challenge of the new role and see it as the recognition of your potential. The universe often brings this type of change upon us to kick us in the bottom when we were stagnant and complacent for too long. When you embrace an imposed change and take the ownership of it, it will start pulling you just like the self-initiated change. For example, when your blood test shows prediabetes and you are shocked, thinking, how did I get myself to this stage? If you are smart, you will very quickly take the responsibility and ownership of it, adjust your diet, and start exercising, wanting to change your chemistry back to the normal levels. This lifestyle change will now be pulling you in the right direction with a lot of motivation, I can assure you. And by the way, it's a scientific fact that not only pre-diabetes, but also diabetes can be fully reversed within 3 months by losing excess weight, eliminating sugars from your diet, and adopting an active lifestyle. The third type of change is the most difficult one. That's the change of our circumstances beyond our control. I call this change karmic, as it is usually written in our destiny. It comes suddenly with great impact. When you are faced with death of a loved one, an accident, a serious diagnosis, or a force of nature creating a hurricane that blows your house to pieces, there is no room left for you to choose whether you want to go through this change or not. All you are left with is to deal with it. And how you deal with it, that's your choice. There are three key concepts closely related to change: challenge, comfort zone, and choice. The four C's altogether, if you like. All change is a challenge that asks us to choose how far we are prepared to venture out of our comfort zone. That's the name of the game. From the self-initiated change to imposed to karmic. Get out of your comfort zone. Your comfort zone is a double-edged sword. It gives you a sense of empowerment, but also takes your power away. Think about it. Your comfort zone is a place where, well, you are comfy. All is known and familiar. You can do your thing with your eyes closed. Not much of a challenge, really. You are confident, safe and secure. And you don't grow. It's a place of habit and routine, and very, very addictive, which makes you to just stay put. Your soul knows that, and every so often, it prompts you to take up a challenge of a self-initiated change, then throws at you a few imposed changes, and finally you are faced with some inevitable karmic changes that you can't escape. Why? It wants you to grow. The way I see it, there are three ways or levels of going through a change, whether self-initiated, imposed, or karmic. Level 1, victimhood. Why me? Why now? Whose fault is this? And finally, whatever. You resign yourself to the change process without any engagement. Change just happens to you, and you are swept by it, with all the negative emotions and consequences you feel are beyond your control. At first you suffer as you try to fight your natural resistance, and finally you give up and give in. You resign to the change. About 30% of the population respond to change at this level. Level 2, management and control. Okay, I need to stay in control. Let's see what I can do here. That's when you take the ownership of the change and manage it as best you can. This is the most common approach, often taught as change management. You manage the change with the available tools and techniques and strategies so that it doesn't overwhelm you. You manage your stress levels and your emotions and have some control of the process, if not the outcomes. I believe that about 65% of the population deal with change at this level. The third level is mastery. As painful as it is, I will use it for the benefit of others and my own benefit long term. At this level, you accept the change and transform it in a way that creates a positive impact regardless of its nature. You take the ownership of the change you are facing, whether it is imposed or karmic. You see the change as progress, as an opportunity to grow. You also look at the change from the highest perspective and see the gift in it, which you don't want to waste, an inspiration for others. That's the most advanced and the most difficult approach. Think professor with a double PhD in the school of life. I believe that only about 5% of the population deal with change at this level. I don't teach people how to manage change. I teach them how to master it. To understand the difference between these three approaches, let's have a look at a challenging scenario. Say, a single mother has lost her teenage daughter to a drunk driver. Of course, she's devastated beyond all comprehension. What can she do? After the initial period of grief, she can resign herself to this fate, retreating from life and people in her pain, perhaps resorting to drinking and refusing all help. She can also decide to rebuild her life and move on as best she can, seeking available help and support and regaining control of her life. And finally, she can also rise above her pain, starting a no-drink-driving campaign, traveling and speaking across the country, and connecting with other parents who also lost their children in drunk-driving accidents. In doing so, she will transform this painful change into an inspirational gift that will help many others. In fact, such outcomes are becoming increasingly common. I now would like to invite you to join me in a simple visualization exercise. It's not a deep meditation, just a relaxed daydreaming that will help you master change, any change you will be going through. So, providing you are not driving now, sit back, relax, take a deep breath in, and gently close your eyes. Think about the change you are facing or planning, either chosen or imposed change. A change at work perhaps, a new job, retrenchment, retirement, or a new career direction. Or at home with your family, wedding, pregnancy, birth, illness or death, separation or divorce, or a planned fitness program, whatever it is for you. Just pick one. See it vividly, in full color. Hear it, sense it. Notice any emotions it brings up in you, both positive and negative. Anticipation, fear, anxiety, resistance, curiosity, anger, pain or sadness, or frustration, or just a sense of confusion, or a sense of ending and beginning. Whatever it is, bring it up and feel in your body. Let it flow. Immerse yourself in these emotions. I now want you to step back from your inner vision and see this change happening on a large screen right in front of you, like a large movie screen. Watch it in full color and sound and see yourself in it as if you are watching a movie with you playing the hero. See the change unfolding and notice that the negative emotions linked with this change become weaker, more subdued, more irrelevant, and the related colors and sounds begin to fade. Your positive emotions, on the other hand, intensify, bursting into beautiful colors and sounds, smells and sensations. Now I want you to take a few more steps back, away from the screen. It is now about 10 meters away in front of you. You now notice people standing between the screen and you, to the right, one person or more. These are the people somehow involved in this change. Perhaps the CEO of your company, your partner or your child, a friend helping you to go through it, a professional that you have sought assistance from, someone who has imposed this change on you or is a part of it. You are now looking at them and they are looking back at you and smile. You connect at the subconscious level and suddenly you begin to hear their thoughts and understand their reasoning, their point of view, their side of the story and feel their support and encouragement for you to go through this change, to embrace it. As we are all connected at the energy level, there are many reasons, many objectives, many emotions, many agendas for a change that we all participate in. Change is never something you can go through alone. As you look again at the screen of your change, you notice that the negative emotions and the associated colors, images and sounds are fading even more. You now have a greater understanding why this change is happening, or why you want it to happen, and begin to feel in control of it. As you move a few more steps back, and there is even more room between you and the screen of your change, you notice in front of you, to the left, on the large table, are all your internal resources you have at your disposal to manage this change effectively. Your strength, your courage, your determination to make it happen, your understanding and your will, your faith and resilience, your inner wisdom, your insight what to do, when and how to make this change work for you in a way that is for your greatest good and the greatest good of anyone else involved in it. Right next to these wonderful internal resources, there are all the external resources that you can access easily and effortlessly at any time. People, information, advice and support. It is all there for you. You are now looking again at the screen of your change. It is still there, but no longer threatening or scary. It is just a process you need to go through, which feels now much more familiar. And now the process has ended, and you can see your future right after the change has taken place. You can see the outcome, your new life, incorporating the change, which is now just a part of it. You know what it looks like, sounds like, and feels like at the other end of your change. It is no longer the unknown, but the familiar. Change is just a transitional process, a flow of life that takes you from one experience to the next. And it is always liberating in some ways. Embrace it. Okay, you may open your eyes now. And finally, I'd like to share with you the 7 steps to change mastery, encapsulating the key points and aspects of the successful process of change. 1. Take the ownership of the change you are facing. Only then you can manage it. 2. Accept the change as progress, as the energy inviting you to move forward, to expand, to get out of your comfort zone, to grow, rather than to limit and constrain your life. 3. Put it in perspective. All change is transitory. See the positive outcome in your mind and hang on to it. Magnetize it with your thoughts. 4. Learn as much as you can about the change you are going through. Make the unfamiliar familiar by planning, projections, and positive visualization. This will dissolve the fear and tell your ego that you'll be safe. 5. Support yourself at the physical and physiological levels to reduce stress. Meditate daily, eat and sleep well, avoid stimulants, talk to people you love and trust, and seek professional help if needed. 6. Choose to go beyond managing and master the change. Transform the pain of change into something positive, a precious gift for yourself and others, however it's appropriate. Be an inspiration. And 7. Trust the higher purpose of the change you are facing. Nothing is ever wasted by the universe. That's all for today, folks. If you like this episode, please share it with others. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the show on iTunes or on my website. And if you really love it, please post a review on iTunes to encourage others to listen to it. For details about my Quantum Living coaching program, please visit my website at quantumliving.com.au. You will also find there more information about this episode in the show notes. I'm your host, Anna Anderson. Thank you for listening. Until next time, be well.